This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
Good afternoon, radio reading listeners. Today is Sunday, May 19th. It's time for the third hour of the Cincinnati Enquirer. I'm Emma Wilhelmus.
Starting us off with the Cincinnati TV Guide and listing for this evening. On NBC, Channel 2.1, at 6 p.m. is 2 News Weekend. 6:30 is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt. 7 p.m. is American Ninja Warrior. 9 p.m. American Ninja Warrior. 11 p.m. 2 News Tonight. And 11:30 is Joel Osteen. On WCPO, Channel 9.1, at 6 p.m. is WCPO 9 News at 6. 6:30 is ABC World News Tonight with David Muir. 7 p.m. is America's Funniest Home Videos. 8 p.m. American Idol. 10 p.m. Time 100, the world's most influential people. 11 p.m. is WCPO 9 News at 11. And 11:30 is Sports of All Sorts. Next, on CBS, Channel 12.1, at 6 p.m. is CBS Weekend News. 6:30 is Local 12 Sunday News. 7 p.m. is 60 Minutes. 8 p.m. The Equalizer. 9 p.m. Tracker. 10 p.m. CSI Vegas. 11 p.m. Local 12 at 11. And 11:30 is Greatest Sports Legends Then and Now. On the CW, Channel 12.2, 6 p.m. is The Rookie, 7 p.m. Mamma Mia, 9:30 The Conners, 10 p.m. The National Desk, 11 p.m. Seinfeld, and 11:30 is Family Guy. On PBS, Channel 14.1, 6 p.m. is Celebrity Antiques Road Trip. 7 p.m. is Martin Clune's Islands of the Pacific. 8 p.m. is Antiques Roadshow. 9 p.m. is Britain's Scenic Railways. 10 p.m. The Wonders of Mexico. 11 p.m. is Austin City Limits. Lastly, on Fox, Channel 19.1, 6 p.m. is MLS Soccer. 7 p.m. Next Level Chef. 8 p.m. The Simpsons. 8:30 Crapopolis. 9 p.m. The Great North. 9:30 Grimsburg. 10 p.m. Fox 19 Now at 10. 11 p.m. Fox 19 Now at 11. And 11:30 is Investigate TV. It's now time for the Cincinnati Obituaries. For Thursday, May 9th, Jose Carlos Reyes, Sylvia Short, Dorothy Albers, Doris May Bergdahl, James Allen Dempster, Josephine J. Gregory, John Hale, Essen Joe Kirajeff, and Peter Hufford Lowry. For Friday, May 10th, Roxanne Brown, Ruth Ann Conley, Jean Cottrell, Jerry Crow, Patricia Kincaid Fix, Hazen Mike Hendrick, Donald Lee Johnson, Hilda Janice Miller, Patrick and Nicole Pelton, Michael W. Ross, Robert Schoenfeld, Reverend Dr. David V. Schwab, and Majorie Hilda Zimmerman. It's now time for the horoscopes. For Aries, March 21st to April 19th. This is a bit of a tricky day. You're in a playful mood and keen to have fun, socialize, and enjoy sport outings. Fun activities with children might be on the menu, but beware of the power struggles with a partner or close friend that could mar happy times. Taurus, April 20th to May 20th. Relations with family members, especially females, will be positive today. But some kind of ego battle or guilt trip might take place related to your health or a pet or your work. Don't let this ruin your day. Be patient with others, but also true to yourself. Gemini, May 21st to June 20th. Short trips, conversations with siblings, relatives, and neighbors, plus an eagerness to exchange gossip and information, will create an upbeat energy for you today. However, someone you know might be bossy and demanding. You might encounter guilt trips. Stay calm. Cancer, June 21st to July 22nd. You will enjoy shopping today. You might also have an opportunity to boost your income or explore real estate opportunities. A family member might have their own personal agenda that clashes with yours. Be sure to use skillful means. Leo, July 23rd to August 22nd. Today offers playful opportunities to socialize and enjoy fun outings, including pleasant times with children. Do not let these opportunities be marred by arguments or emotional clashes with others. Sidestep these difficulties so you can enjoy your day. Virgo, August 23rd to September 22nd. Power struggles about money or possessions are likely today. Perhaps you're coming on too strong. Don't take the stance that might is right because you will regret it. Consider the feelings of everyone involved. Stay grounded and reasonable. Libra, September 23rd to October 22nd. You are the peacemaker because along with your social skills, you know how to read people. Today, you might be overcome by your emotions, which cause you to say and do things that you might regret. Don't give in to these impulses. Scorpio, October 23rd to November 21st. Venus will soon enter your sign, making you diplomatic and charming. Meanwhile, today you face difficulties with someone in authority, especially about a hidden agenda. Don't be pushy. Put your cards on the table and be upfront. Tell it like it is. Sagittarius, November 22nd to December 21st. Money issues or quarrels about possession might create clashes with others today, even though your ability to deal with people from other cultures and different backgrounds is excellent right now. Make a wise choice. Don't give in to emotional impulses. Capricorn, December 22nd to January 19th. Today, you have the support of others, both practical and financial. Perhaps this is why you might find yourself at odds with someone in authority. Someone might make demands of you. Avoid these power struggles if possible because you don't need it. Who does? Aquarius, January 20th to February 18th. Don't give in to a desire to convince others about your politics or religion to the point that you are pushy or insensitive. Why even go there? Lighten up. Today, it's best if you cooperate with others and let sleeping dogs lie. Pisces, February 19th to March 20th. Power struggles might arise today. Fortunately, you look good in the eyes of others because the sun is at the top of your chart, casting you in a flattering spotlight. Because of this, you can deal with issues gracefully. Use patience and common sense. And if your birthday is today, you are progressive values. You are a curious person who seeks ways to improve things around you because you are a practical idealist. Simplicity is the key to life this year. It's time to create solid foundations and take charge of your health. Physical exercise is important. It's now time for Dear Carolyn Hacks. Even when they talk, husbands no longer paying attention. Dear Carolyn, my husband rarely asks how I'm doing or asks about my work or shows interest in my interests. On the rare occasion he does ask, he'll be distracted in some way on his phone or just not fully paying attention. He makes this obvious with comments unrelated to what I've shared and his lack of eye contact. Sometimes he'll interrupt me when I'm responding. I voiced my observations and said we don't need to talk since you're on your phone, etc. We are in counseling for none other than communication. I'm frustrated and I know I cannot change him, but I'm not sure how else I can handle this on my end. Signed, Hello. Dear Hello, I'm sorry. Your options are limited by his willingness to change how he treats you, but you can draw lines on how you are treated. Would you please put your phone away while we talk? Ask in advance for distraction-free time like dinner out where you put your phones away, or a walk around the neighborhood. Even as I type this, I find it painful. It just feels wrong on how to advise a socially engineered attention to you and away from a chirping box. But there are two powerful forces at work here. One, a long relationship with a normal decline in novelty. Two, technology built on teasing and tempting brains with unlimited novelty or simulations thereof. With some neurological profiles, the pull to phones is much stronger than it is for other people. But everyone is susceptible to a degree. Like Jessica Rabbit, phones were just drawn that way. It may be that your husband's pull to distractions and away from you is too strong for your marriage to overcome. But you have the right ideas for pulling back, so put them to use more decisively. Insist on his attention at the times you want his attention. Set up no phone zones. Keep working at the intimacy of truth. And consider reintroducing yourself to novelty. When couples are dating, they make cool plans, then too often let that slide when they marry. When did you last plan to do something new? It's now time for the articles of the third hour of the Cincinnati Enquirer. Cincinnati native advances to Jeopardy finals with a chance to win $100,000. One Cincinnati local has graced Alex Trebek's Jeopardy stage not once, but twice. And on New Year's Day, she earned her ticket to return to the show for the third time, with a $100,000 prize at stake. Zani Brown, a postdoctoral fellow at the University of Pennsylvania, made her Jeopardy debut in November 2022, documenting the news on her Twitter account. After her defeat, several commentators said they hoped Brown would be back for the Second Chance competition, a series for folks who weren't victorious during their first Jeopardy appearance, but who producers believed have what it takes to win if given a second chance. This December, Brown revealed on her Facebook that she'd been selected for the Second Chance competition. "Pretty darn delighted to announce that I will be back on the Alex Trebek stage. Getting to play Jeopardy was an absolute dream, and getting to play it twice is more than I could ever ask for," Brown wrote. Brown advanced to the final episode of the Second Chance competition, airing on January 1st. The Cincinnati local was matched up against Greg Saga, a cardiologist from San Diego, and Christopher Pennant, a sports journalist from Chicago. Ultimately, Brown outsmarted her competition, walking away with $35,000, and a spot in the Jeopardy! Season 39 Champions Wildcard Competition starting January 16th. Brown reflected on her win, writing on Facebook that, I'd hoped that I'd get invited to the Second Chance competition simply because I wanted to play more Jeopardy. To come back and win the competition was more than I could have imagined and wouldn't have been possible without the love and support of family and friends. A prize of $100,000 is at stake on this month's Champions Wildcard competition. If Brown is victorious, she'll advance on the tournament Jeopardy of Champions, the highest regarded event in the Jeopardy series, with a $250,000 grand prize. The 25 best looking dining rooms, or bar rooms, in Cincinnati. I've always judged a restaurant as much, if not more, by the atmosphere it presents, as the food it serves. Are the lights soft enough? Is the music in tune with the vibe? And most importantly, are there booths? Going back through the restaurants I've covered during the past few years, I came up with my 25 favorite dining rooms and bar rooms. Some are modern and some are classic. Some are shiny and some are battered. No matter, these are the places where I feel the room equals or occasionally surpasses the quality of the food. The Blind Lemon, Mal Adams. For my money, the most beautiful bar in America, with its presidential memorabilia, fireplace, cozy table and booths, acoustic guitars singing yacht rock from an outdoor patio while you sit inside with your steady under Tiffany lighting and framed photos of Ronald Reagan in a tuxedo and Gary Sandy in a cowboy hat. Five on Vine, over the Rhine. Elegant, dimly lit, with cushy high-back banquets and quiet conversations. Just standing outside and looking at the dining room and adjacent kitchen is an experience unto itself. Jeff Ruby's downtown. I gasped the first time I walked into Jeff Ruby's new Fountain Square dining room with its luxurious Art Deco-style booths, antique chandeliers, high liqueur wood paneling and palm trees planted in silver urns. It's pure Jeff Ruby in the best way possible. Maury's Tiny Cove in Cheviot. Maury's feels like a Frank Sinatra song that comes to life smack dab in the middle of Cheviot. And if this restaurant were in Brooklyn or Vegas, I guarantee it would be world-renowned. Maury's reminds you of your grandparents and your great-uncles and your childhood and what restaurants felt like before the age of living walls and light industrial chic. Le Bar Ebouf, East Walnut Hills. Sure, it's located in a condo building, but the fireplace, ambiance, and service makes this one of the most comforting dining rooms in town. Views of downtown add to the experience. Photos of the late Jean Robert Ducavel may make you teary, but this place is a perfect reminder of his spirit. The great chef's collection of nutcrackers stand at attention behind the bar, as if they're still waiting for his arrival. The Nashner Exemplar, Marymount. Evoking a Ralph Lauren era 1980s, the Exemplar, located inside the Marymount Inn, is preppy, warm, and timeless. Grab a nice polo next door at Trevor Furbay, the best men's clother in town, before enjoying a bowl of Hungarian mushroom soup next to a Citizen Kane-like fireplace. Razzo in Pendleton. A brand new spot that already looks like a classic, Razzo recalls those classic Italian cafes that you've either been to or read about in magazines. Cherry wainscoting, framed Senzano ads, and Italian travel prints decorate the walls, and a sleek neon red sign announces the name of the restaurant, Razzo, an Italian word for rocket, above the bar, an elegant addition to an already gorgeous block of Pendleton it occupies. Scotty's, downtown. You will never, ever find a dining room like this one, with its fever dream mosaic walls, opera music on repeat, red checkered tablecloths, and wax-covered Chianti bottles, Scotty's opened in 1912 and a century later remains among Cincinnati's most unique restaurants. Smoke Justice in Covington. Located in the former Citizens Telephone Building, the barroom of this Covington Blue Sox-themed restaurant has battered wood floors, enormous windows, tin ceilings, and vintage lighting. It all adds up to a very Kentucky tavern-like feel that makes you want to stick around all day, sipping as much good bourbon as humanly possible. Oriental Walk, Fort Mitchell. In the best way possible, Oriental Walk's Fort Mitchell location reminds me of resort hotels in the 1980s. With its faux balconies and enormous banquet hall with sized chandelier, but it's also a reminder of what Chinese restaurant dining felt like during the Carter and Reagan eras, complete with red lanterns, illuminated cherry trees, and fish ponds galore. Zips Cafe, Mount Lookout. The perfect spot to nestle into a beat-up booth for a burger on a cold winter's day. Yes, there are those toy trains running along the ceiling in the front dining room, but the rear saloon where regulars pack in to talk, watch sports, and eat some of the best grub is just as magical. Urban Thelma's, Covington. Like Zips, but with a southern twist. A screen door leads you into a small, convenient dining room located with vintage Wiedemann signs, featuring equine derby scenes and display cases filled with antique beer bottles and baseballs. Yes, the burgers are delicious, but don't shy away from the soups. The Greyhound Tavern, Fort Mitchell. The dining rooms with their antique and pastel printed wallpapers give the place a cherry nostalgic vibe that can make every visit feel like Easter Sunday. A more casual atmosphere can be found in the wood-paneled tavern room where men and women in polo shirts and buttons gowns drink frosty glasses of beer, watch sports, and comfort old friends with bear hugs or simple pats on the back beneath the soft glow of a deer antler chandelier and schoolhouse lights. Mid-City Restaurant, Downtown. Mid-City feels like a cross between a 1940s dining car and a refurbished New York dive. Curtained windows look onto a historic Cincinnati alleyway, and there's always an obscure song playing that, even if you've never heard it before, quickly becomes your favorite. Why? Because it reminds you of being here. Pep and Dolores, Over the Rhine. This is 21st century Italian-American decor done right. A classic dining room that sets a tone for a big plate of pasta with a Negroni on the side. Aglamisi Brothers, Oakley. It's so nostalgic that it almost makes you cry. The Anchor Grill, Covington. If Tom Waits opened a nautical-themed diner, this would be it. Mount Adams Bar and Grill. Along with Arnold's, this is the most Cincinnati bar in Cincinnati. Memorabilia galore, regulars from the nearby Playhouse in the Park, great bartenders, and good food. Arnold's Downtown. The wood-screen door, the battered bar, and the timeless atmosphere makes this one of my favorites. It's the kind of bar that lets you live out your saddest thoughts and your saddest songs. It's the kind of bar where you celebrate your candidate win on the city council and pray to God he or she won't let you down. It might not be where players from the Reds or Bengals hang out, but it's where the fans of those teams have long sat at the bar and read about them in the local paper. The Bar at Palm Court Downtown. Perhaps the most beautiful cocktail lounge in the Midwest, the Art Nouveau style room with its sky-high ceilings make you feel like you've walked into another era. F. Scott Fitzgerald would have loved it. York Street Cafe, Newport. York Street is decorated with travel trunks and Pez dispensers, lava lamps and leather-bound novels, kitschy glassware and wooden signs. Many of the items are housed in glass-fronted cabinets, left over from when this Queen Anne-style building erected in the in the 1880s served as a pharmacy. Highland Coffee House, Coryville. Like the best restaurant and cafes, Highland seems to like it's always been here. As if the plants hanging in the windows were placed there at the beginning of time by God himself. As if the periodic table hanging on the wall was the first one ever created. There's an Oxford English dictionary in the back, and the smell of cinnamon and espresso reminds you of a short story you read a long time ago, but can no longer recall. Fireside Pizza, Walnut Hills. The dining room, located inside a restored 1869 firehouse, has exposed brick walls, high ceilings, and folk art paintings by local artist Brent Notting. The twinkle lights make you feel like Rescue Me and Gilmore's Girls got hitched and moved to Walnut Hills. The Turf Club, Linwood. The neon signs that surround you make you feel like Turf Club feel like a celebration on any day of the week. The burgers are both inventive and delicious, and the Great Lakes Dormunder Gold is served ice cold. Blue Jays Restaurant, Northside. There's a reason movie scouts love this place. See Robert Redford's The Old Man and the Gun. Diners like this are hard to find on these days. There's a faux paneling and faux bricks, booths where families come together over three ways and burgers, and counter stools where regulars dine on coffee and eggs. Picture in your head a diner. The Blue Jay is exactly what you'll see. WGRR reveals Mary with microphones replacement. Cincinnati radio station 103.5 or WGRR-FM has a new morning host. Jim Day, who was previously heard on Warm 98.5 or WRRM-FM, has joined the station as morning host and debuts this week. Cumulus Media, which owns the station, announced in a press release. Day can be heard Monday through Friday from 5 to 9 a.m. Day takes over the spot held by Chris O'Brien and Jeanine Coyle, who retired from their long-running WGRR morning show, Married with Microphones, last year. The husband and wife team co-hosted their final show on December 22nd. I've worked just down the hall from Chris and Jeanine for the last 7 years and never imagined I would be considered to take over mornings at WGRR, Day said in release. I was surprised to be asked, and I'm honored to take on the challenge. But more than all of that, I wish the happily married couple an amazing retirement. Jim will be a great addition to the WGRR team, and he only has to move his headphones down about 30 feet, Keith Mitchell, the station's program director, added. While never easy to replace a long-running show, Jim will bring energy, enthusiasm, and fun to mornings. Big news. Mountain Dew Baja Blast available in stores nationwide for all of 2024, not just Taco Bell. Mountain Dew Baja Blast, the popular beverage once sold exclusively at Taco Bell, will be sold in stores nationwide this month and for the first time will be available throughout all of 2024. PepsiCo, the parent company of Mountain Dew, said in a news release Tuesday the drink would be available in bottles and cans all year to celebrate the 20th anniversary of the drink's launch. Mountain Dew Baja Blast has cemented its place as a fan favorite pop culture and a staple in countless Taco Bell orders, so we know we had to celebrate its 20th anniversary in a big way, said J.B. Bittencourt, Vice President of Marketing at Mountain Dew. The popular soda has been released in stores as a seasonal product in the past, but this marks the first time PepsiCo is making a year-long staple. According to the news release, with every purchase of a Baja Blast or Baja Blast Zero Sugar, both in stores and at participating Taco Bell locations, customers can scan to collect coins for a chance to redeem Baja gear, accessories, electronics, a Taco Bell deal, and more at the Baja Blast shop at www.bajablast.com. Mountain Dew Baja Blast will also have its first ever Super Bowl commercial during Super Bowl LV3 in February, according to a news release. Get creative on ingredients for turkey chili with lentils. When it comes to substituting ingredients for recipes, there are two kinds of cooks. On the one hand, some folks abandon making the recipe altogether. The other, more adventurous cooks, feel confident enough to go ahead and sub what feels sensible to them. I was in the exact situation this morning. I cleaned out the freezer and found a generous pound of ground turkey that needed to be cooked. My first thought was turkey chili with lentils. It's a simple one-bowl supper that's satisfying after weeks of holiday feasting. The recipe that I've shared before calls for green lentils, tomato sauce and paste, and canned green chilies. The only lentils in the pantry were red. I was out of tomato sauce, but did have paste. Canned green chilies, none of those either. The good news is the turkey chili did get made, and it was so good. Red lentils substitute nicely for the green, and tomato paste thinned with broth replaced the tomato sauce. Red pepper flakes turned out to be a workable alternative to the canned green chilies. Not every ingredient has a substitute, but legumes, canned tomatoes, and chilies can be exchanged with similar tasting items in a good many instances. This turkey chili with red lentils proves my point. Turkey chili with red lentils. Now, here's the deal for this chili. Just about any lentil will work. Red and brown lentils break down as they cook. Green hold their shape pretty well. As for other substitutes, I'll give you those as we go along. A little bit more or less of any ingredient is okay too. Ingredients: 1 pound or so of ground turkey or ground chicken. 1 medium onion diced small, 2 cloves of garlic minced. 6 ounces tomato paste or 2 tablespoons paste plus 8 ounces of sauce. 1 quart chicken broth. 1 canned diced tomatoes. Couple shakes of red pepper flakes or 4 ounces of canned diced green chilies. 1 generous tablespoon of chili powder blend. 1 teaspoon ground cumin. 1 generous cup or so of red lentils. Green or brown will work well too. Salt to taste, and to garnish, you can use sour cream, cheddar cheese, green onions, any or all. For the instructions, film the bottom part of a pot with olive oil. Turn heat to medium. Stir in turkey, onions, garlic, and tomato paste. Cook, stirring consistently until fragrant and starting to bubble around the edges. A few minutes. Mixture will be thick. Add broth, tomatoes, and seasonings. Bring to a gentle boil and cook until onions are soft and turkey is cooked. This took about 20 minutes or so on my stove. Add lentils and cook until lentils are done. About another 20 minutes or so. Adjust seasoning to taste. Serve and garnish as desired. Good for you. Budget-friendly lentils contain lots of nutrition, including protein and B vitamins. They are super meat substitute. You can freeze it. Leftovers can be frozen for a month or so. Disney's early Mickey Mouse, Picasso, Tolkien, and more art now in the public domain. Every year, a new set of works enters the public domain and becomes free for people to creatively reuse, depending on the copyright laws of your area. The Public Domain Review, a nonprofit online journal, gathered the most prominent works that entered the public domain January 1, 2024. The works were made by copyright owners who died in 1953 for countries with copyright term of life plus 70 years, including New Zealand, and most of Africa and Asia. Copyright owners who died in 1973 for countries with a term of life plus 50 years, including New Zealand and most of Africa and Asia. Film and books, including artworks featured, published in 1928 for the United States. Disney's Steamboat Willie and more prominent works, films, books that are lost copyright protected in 2024. the 1928 original script for the Walt Disney Steamboat Willie, the first cartoon to star Mickey Mouse, entered the public domain on January 1st. The modern version of Mickey Mouse is still protected by copyright and trademark laws. Here are some of the other prominent works entering the public domain in 2024. Films. October, 10 Days That Shook the World, directed by Sergei Eisenstein. The Passion of Joan of Arc, directed by Carl Theodor Dreyer. Novels, books, and poetry. Carl Blossfeld's Uniformen de Kernst, Wanda Gag's Millions of Cats, W.E.B. Du Bois' Dark Princess, D.H. Lawrence's Lady Chatterley's Lover, Andre Breton's Nausea, Siegfried Sassoon's Memoirs of a Fox Hunting Man, Evelyn Waugh's Decline and Fall, Virginia Woolf's Orlando, a biography, A.A. Milne's The House at Pooh Corner, which introduced the Tigger character, and Federico Garcia Lorca's Gypsy Ballads. Artists, writers, and filmmakers. Pablo Picasso, Dylan Thomas, Cecil Hepworth, J.R.R. Tolkien, Edmund Dulac, and Hank Williams. Grippa's Grilled Cheese is back at Frisch's Big Boy. Here's what to know. A popular twist on the classic grilled cheese sandwich has returned to Frisch's Big Boy. The Cincinnati area chain announced Tuesday the Grippa Grilled Cheese sandwich is back on menus for a limited time. The sandwich, which pairs melted American cheese with Grippa's barbecue potato chips between two slices of Texas toast, is now available through February 11th, according to a Frisch's Facebook post. The Grippa's Grilled Cheese first debuted in Frisch's in 2021. Customers can purchase a sandwich, value fries, and a drink for $7.99. Diners can also pair the sandwich with a bowl of tomato bisque and a drink for $8.99, or opt for Frisch's soup and salad bar plus a drink for $9.99. This week at participating locations, customers can also get the Grippa's Grilled Cheese and salad bar for $7.99. The sandwich is available for dine-in, carry-out, and drive-through orders. What are the benefits of black tea? Caffeine content, more explained. Black tea is a tried and true staple of tea blends. Check any office building or hotel room and you'll likely find the classic Earl Grey, English breakfast, and more. But just because they're the most basic doesn't mean they're boring. Many black tea blends use complementary seasonings to produce a unique and distinct flavor. Lady Grey tea, for example, combines orange and lemon peel. Masala chai commonly blends black tea with seasonings like green cardamom, clove, cinnamon, black pepper, ginger, nutmeg, and others. Here's how this favorite tea measures up when it comes to your health. Is black tea good for you? Yes. As with any other tea, black tea is a healthy way to boost hydration and get some extra antioxidants in. Registered dietitian Danielle Crumble-Smith previously told USA Today. Tea contains polyphenol compounds which have antioxidant properties. Studies show that antioxidants found in teas may be able to prevent and treat human diseases like cardiovascular disease and may also be anti-aging and anti-diabetes. Black tea benefits. There are numerous health benefits associated with regular black tea consumption. One UK-based study found that drinking black tea regularly was modestly associated with lower mortality from all causes. Flavonoids are the polyphenolic compound in black tea that gives many of its health benefits. The polyphenols in black tea act as antioxidants, which balance out potentially harmful free radicals that can lead to cell damage and disease. Another active polyphenol is in black tea is theophylline, which research suggests may benefit gut health. Other studies show that black tea may protect against certain types of cancer, but the most convincing evidence may be that it protects against oral cancer to an extent. There's also evidence that it may decrease blood sugar levels immediately following meals. Black tea also contains the amino acid 1-theanine, though other teas contain higher amounts of it. Many use 1-theanine to improve stress disorders, mood and sleep, and hygiene. Several studies suggest regular black tea consumption may reduce cardiovascular disease, the leading cause of death in the U.S. A flavonoid-rich diet is associated with a lower risk of CVD, or cardiovascular disease. High cholesterol is a risk factor for heart disease. Results from studies on black tea reducing low-density lipoprotein or bad cholesterol are mixed. While some early studies suggest black teas could reduce bad cholesterols, a diet-controlled 2015 study found that drinking black tea daily did not significantly change the lipid profile of subjects with borderline high cholesterol. Does black tea have caffeine? Yes. While black tea has less caffeine than coffee, it's still a caffeinated beverage. Black tea has about 47 milligrams of caffeine, while a cup of Joe comes in at just under 100 milligrams of caffeine. Teas are great for people who are otherwise sensitive to caffeine, needing an energy boost, Crumble Smith said. The daily recommended limit for caffeine intake is 400 milligrams, but experts recommend keeping it around 300 milligrams per day. Excessive caffeine intake can result in headaches, insomnia, anxiety, irritability, rapid heartbeat, and muscle tremors, as well as long-term side effects. You might not be going for 6 cups of black tea per day, but if your caffeine intake is ticking up, you can always go for decaf black tea, which has only 2 milligrams of caffeine. Green tea also has less than black tea, clocking in at 28 milligrams per cup. Guy Ferrari to open first Italian restaurant at Scioto Downs this spring. Columbus-born celebrity chef Guy Ferrari, who is already planning a 2-day food festival in his hometown this June, will also open an Italian restaurant this spring at El Dorado Scioto Downs. The first meal I ever had was in Columbus. I was born here, Ferrari said in a news release this morning from Scioto Downs. So it's true homecoming to bring any of my latest concepts to the area. Being from an Italian family, classic Italian-American fare has always been a part of my life. Ferrari said in the release that he's stoked to bring this take on classic Italian flavors. Meatballs, pasta fagioli, chicken parmigiana, and lasagna, he said, will have 68 layers to town. Specifics of the menu will come later, Scioto Downs said, although the range of Fiery-branded restaurants include Mexican barbecue burgers and pizza, none focus solely on Italian. Among Italian dishes at existing places, baked spaghetti and meatballs, Cajun chicken alfredo, cavatappi pasta with garlic breadcrumbs, and Caesar salad and pizza. The Columbus restaurant hasn't been named yet, but will have an old-school Italian feel with rustic wood finishes, textured glass screens, and an open pizza and pasta and prep station. It will be designed by Aria Group architects from the Chicago area, whose portfolio includes Cooper's Hawk and True Food restaurants, both of which are located at Easton Town Center. In November, Ferrari announced plans for Favortown Fest, a food and musical festival to take place June 1st and 2nd on the lawns of CAS, a 54-acre ground near Ohio State University. Musical acts and celebrity chefs have yet to be announced. In addition, 4 Ghost Kitchens operate under Ferrari's Flavortown Kitchen label operated briefly in Columbus during 2021. Scioto Downs is at 6000 S High Street currently has 2 dining options. The Brew Brothers, which offers craft beers and pub food, and Dash Cafe, which serves pizza and other quick bites within the gaming area. Amy Ankerson, Senior Vice President and General Manager at Scioto Downs, said Ferrari's restaurant will offer an exquisite dining experience and a menu that will appeal to all customers. Chef Ferrari is an iconic figure worldwide, and Scioto Downs is honored to welcome him home for his first Italian restaurant this spring, she said in a news release announcing the venture. What are the best books you read or listened to in 2023? Here are USA Today's favorites. Did we all finish books we wanted to read in 2023? No, but we had a spectacular time trying. Last year gave us juicy best-selling titles like Emily Henry's Happy Place, alongside instant literary classics like Jay McBride's The Heaven and Earth Grocery Store. It was a banner year for celebrity memoir A-listers, including Barbara Streisand, Britney Spears, Prince Harry, and Kerry Washington, gave us a glimpse into their worlds. And of course, we devoured new pages from the reliable brains of Stephen King, James Patterson, and Colleen Hoover. As a calendar flips, so opens a fresh 12 months of reading opportunity. But before we're awash with new titles, we wanted to look back at our favorite books of 2023. We hope you find a few you missed last year and can add to your 2024 to-be-read list. The World and All That It Holds by Alexander Heman. Heman keeps many plates spinning. He's a professor at Princeton, a musician under the name CeeLo Heman, the recipient of a MacArthur Foundation Genius Grant, and a screenwriter who co-wrote the script for The Matrix Resurrections. Somehow, while doing all that, he also wrote one of the all-time greatest novels about World War I. The Bosnian-American writer takes readers on a tour of the horrors of the 20th century as seen through the eyes of Pinto, a poetic dreamer who falls in love with a fellow soldier on the front lines and, like Heman himself, is displaced forever by war. It's a wrenching war narrative, a soaring love story, and everything in between. It's truly a book that lives up to its ambitious title. Black Sheep by Rachel Harrison. As much as I love Stephen King, it's fun to seek out other horror writers who can weave together the sinister and sublime. Like Harrison and her cult thriller, with a dysfunctional family and a big old secret. Vesper Wright is a cynical 20-something who gets fired from her dead-end chain restaurant job. She gets her wedding invite from her cousin and ex-BFF, who's still in an ultra-religious community Vesper escaped from as a teenager. She goes back home to reconnect with loved ones and her icy mom in iconic movie Scream Queen. Things go awry when a major reveal happens. It's not hard to figure out, but still pretty cool, and Vesper is forced to confront her past and figure out her future. It's a hellacious coming-of-age novel with apocalyptic stakes and a delicious dark streak. Fourth Wing by Rebecca Yarros. If you're a fan of dragons and intrigue, then this fast-paced, twisty book is for you. Yarros manifests a brutal world where your enemies are just as dangerous as your fellow students, who are encouraged to kill anyone who shows weakness. Think Game of Thrones meet Hunger Games. The novel follows Violet Sorengale, who commanding General Mother denies her entry to the safe Scribe Quadrant and forces her into Bae Sgwath War College, where she is forged into a deadly weapon and discovers a secret so massive that it changes everything she thinks she knows. The second book, the Empyrean series, Iron Flame, was recently published and is just as absorbing as the first. Romantic Comedy by Curtis Sittenfeld. I admit I'm a sucker for romantic comedy, but after consumption I felt empty and often can't even remember what happened, except people seem to end up happily ever after. So Sittenfeld's newest book was a pure delight that feels smart while also breezy and fun. The writer of Prep and Rodham is able to bring together sharp observations about women and love and women and work while sucking you into the will-they-or-won't-they story. The book follows a late-night show writer who falls for a pop singer and all of the insecurities that come with it. Sittenfeld also even works the pandemic into this love story and lets it unfold in what feels like real time. The book is fun and a smart escape, and we can only hope it finds its way to the big screen soon, so we can consume it again. The Reformatory by Tana Navar Du. This book is haunting, and not just because of ghosts. Du's latest novel follows 12-year-old Robert Stevens Jr., a black boy in Jim Crow South who has been sent to the Gracetown School for Boys, a segregated reformatory facility where many boys have been sentenced and some never make it out. The fictional reform school and its abuse are quite similar to Florida's very real Dozier School for Boys. It also doesn't help that Robert can see ghosts. The school's ground is full of those who died there, and Robert has been tasked with helping catch them. Robert and his sister Gloria, who is trying to help free her brother, must learn to navigate the challenges they are forced to face in a racist world where they are hated, yet also invisible. The reformatory is raw, compelling, and has so much emotion on its pages. Oscar Wars: A History of Hollywood in Gold, Sweat, and Tears by Michael Shulman. We all suspected Hollywood was a shark tank, but Tinseltown Chronicle Shulman takes us into the murky aquarium to see the megalodons up close. What comes across as clearly as what it was old is sadly new again from the pre-#MeToo issues at the dawn of the movie Age 100 years ago, to the aggressive and at times suspect tactics to crown some stars and movies over others. It is a sweeping chronicle of the past that also helps us put every future Oscar telecast into glorious and snarky perspective. Is it hot in here, or am I suffering for all eternity for the sins I committed on Earth? By Zach Zimmerman. Reflecting on the year, there are two essential queer texts that I keep coming back to. Barbara Streisand's nearly 1,000-page memoir, a gloriously dishy deep dive into the life and career of our greatest living entertainer, and Zimmerman's marvelous first book, Is It Hot in Here? Through a series of drolly hilarious and frequently moving essays, the comedian vividly muses on family heartbreak, religious guilt, and the general gay chaos of modern dating. For anyone whose sexual awakening was inspired in least in part by Fiddler on the Roof, and an actor playing a motel, this book is tailor-made just for you. Candelaria by Melissa Lozado Oliva. It's not every day that a book about cannibalism, cults, and flesh-eating zombies makes you bawl your eyes out. Lozada Oliva's first novel in prose follows three generations of unruly and strong women. Candelaria, the matriarch, Lucia, her daughter, and granddaughters Bianca, an archaeologist Candy, a recovering addict, and Paula, a brainwashed wellness cultist. The estranged sisters all deal with their disparate identity, womanhood, and vices on their own, but their fierce love for one another always brings them back together, especially during an apocalypse. At its heart, Candelaria is about the unflinching love that binds generations of women together and the work it takes to dismantle intergenerational trauma. Easily one of my favorites of 2023, Candelaria is messy, trippy, beautiful, and complicated. Making It Home by Teresa Strasser. Teresa Strasser's grief memoir about her mother and brother dying 4 months apart is a must-read for anyone grieving, because it reminds you that life isn't about happy endings. It's about possibilities. She mined her son's little league baseball games as a beautiful through line to her grief journey. There's something internal about baseball that seems to tie the living to the dead, that seems to tie the past to the future, Strasser told me in an interview. We just put our feet in the dirt. We prayed for wins. We let losses wash over us. We knew that there were endless possibilities for magical happy endings, and we didn't always get a happy ending, but we knew one was always possible. The Perfectionist, Guide to Losing Control, A Path to Peace and Power by Katherine Morgan Schaeffler. I love the self-improvement genre, and this book provided such an aha moment of clarity. I am often felt alone in my ambition to continuously strive to be the best version of myself. I'm not saying I accomplished this unachievable goal, but it's something I'm constantly thinking about that has made me feel separate from others at times. Morgan Schaeffler's book gave me an identity as a proud perfectionist and made me feel like less of a weirdo. She also provides tools on how to ease the self-applied pressure to be perfect. All people care about is you, and you are not a composite list of your perceived accomplishes and failures in life. She wants readers to remember. The energy you bring into the room with you is more valuable than anything you could ever do. Night, Wherever We Go by Tracy Rose Payton. Payton's debut novel certainly doesn't read like a debut. Her lyrical, historic narrative shifts perspectives among a group of enslaved black women on a struggling Texas plantation as they stage a covert rebellion against their white captors who have hired a stockman to rape and impregnate them. It's a brutal book, as any narrative from the perspective of enslaved must be by necessity. But it's also a hopeful, empowering narrative as the women use what resources and will they have to defy their tormentors and assert their humanity in the face of a great evil. Promises of Gold by Jose Olivares. If you feel intimidated by poetry, or if you think poetry just isn't for you, then get ready for Chicago poet Olivares to change your mind. Promises of Gold urges readers to allow poetry into your life, he said in an interview with USA Today. Olivares' poems are about the familial, brotherly, romantic, platonic, and self kinds of love in our lives, and about how restorative those ties can be. Promises of Gold tackles grief, intergenerational ties, machoism, heartbreak, love, and how the mundanity of everyday life can end up being transformative. The tender, funny, colloquial, yet beautiful in a way which Olivares crafts every poem will leave you meditating on the big love you feel for friends, family, and community. Bird Hotel by Joyce Menard. As a woman who wrote a book about my mother who killed herself jumping into the Grand Canyon, I admit that I was fully unprepared for the first sentence of Menard's novel. I was 27 years old when I decided to jump off the Golden Gate Bridge. That sentence took my breath away, and then so did the rest of the 432-page book that tells a story of hope. We need more books like this. One that tells a story as universal as loss, then as uplifting as the ways you can find survival. The story follows Irene, a woman in hiding from a problem she didn't create, who suffers immeasurable loss and winds up at a lake in a Central American country that closely resembles Menard's own place at Lake Atitlan in Guatemala. I hung on every lyrical sentence as the book followed Irene's journey to run an inn and try to find herself, even when it required embracing a dose of magical realism. Lastly, Glimmer, a story of survival, hope, and healing by Kimberly Shannon Murphy. This might not be the book you seek out, but it finds you. It's a book that will change you. The author is a stunt woman to celebrity A-listers, and she will have you walking away with more empathetic and understanding of childhood sexual abuse survivors. The memoir, divided into three parts, Splitting, Spinning, and Landing, details Murphy's painful process of excavating her darkest memories with unflinching honesty and desperate need to pull the curtain back on toxic family dynamics that perpetrate the cycle of molestation. Murphy's Glimmer does a tremendous job of destigmatizing childhood sexual abuse and challenging readers to stand up and speak out for survivors. Murphy's memoir is about the long road to healing, the difficult but important job of telling your story, and how despite everything, there's a chance of a glimmer of hope at the end.
And that's all we have time for today on Sunday, May 19th. This has been the third hour of the Cincinnati Enquirer. I'm Emma Wilhelmus, wishing you a great and sunny week.